I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. After a week of historic high drama on the Crimean Peninsula, what could happen next? That's what everyone's wondering, from nervous Ukrainians in Kiev to people in Crimea and in Moscow, and of course, officials of the State Department in Washington. We'll examine the crisis today from several angles, starting with what Crimeans make of the situation they're in. Just a reminder, Crimea is still technically part of Ukraine, but this week the region settled into a de facto occupation by Russian troops, and pro-Moscow local officials proclaimed that Crimea is now Russian territory and set a date for a referendum in about a week's time. The BBC's Natalia Antalava tells us how residents of the region's capital feel about all of this.
In Crimea, people woke up this morning to a heavy rain and an uncertain future. At a local market in Simferopol, old ladies sell vegetables and discuss politics. These women are pleased that the regional parliament has decided that Crimea should join the Russian Federation. I'm for Putin, this woman says. He'll take care of us. We want to be part of Russia, another adds. Next week, the new pro-Moscow government in Crimea will hold a referendum, which it says will endorse the parliamentary resolution. Officials say they're already working on plans to introduce the Russian ruble. Local political analyst Alexander Furmanchuk thinks it's a very good idea.
I understand the process is painful, but everyone will have to accept it. Russia will get Crimea, and there will be an investment boom here. Our tourist industry will flourish. New roads will be built.
But that image is far removed from the reality of Crimea today. In the last 2 days, several news crews and pro-Ukraine activists have been attacked by pro-Moscow volunteer brigades that patrol streets here. Hundreds of Ukrainian soldiers are locked inside their bases around the peninsula, guarded by the Russian troops. And not all ethnic Russians here support Moscow. Businessman Dmitry Timonov took me on a spin along the coastal town of Saki outside Simferopol. He predicts its beaches will be empty in the summer. Dmitry is Russian, and he believes Crimeans are making a huge mistake.
First of all, no one explained how it will actually work. All our electricity, 70% of our gas supplies, our water, it all comes from Ukraine. This is a peninsula. Our roads, our railways are only connected to mainland Ukraine. Russia can't provide Crimea with electricity. How will this be solved? You know why they are rushing the referendum? Because they're afraid people will start asking these questions.
Public discussion here is limited. Pro-Moscow voices dominate the mainstream media. On Thursday, within minutes after Parliament passed its resolution, several Ukrainian TV channels were taken off air, replaced with Russian networks.
The only news and the only channels I can watch right now is propaganda, like from Russian TV.
In a trendy cafe in the heart of Simferopol, I meet two young Crimeans. Olesya is an ethnic Russian born in Russia. Vadim is originally from Western Ukraine.
Yesterday, I actually cried about the situation itself because I thought always that Russia is a kind of like older brother for Ukraine. Right now, I see this, you know, violating my rights, violating my freedom.
I'm afraid of people being killed. Then if decision is made and Crimea is going to be part of Russia, is going to be part of Russian Federation, I'll have to move out of here, even though I like this place, even though I wanted to raise my kids here. I'll have to move up north or to western part of Ukraine because two worldviews have clashed.
With views so polarized and tensions so high, there seems to be little room for compromise. As Crimea's new leaders rush into Moscow's embrace, many here fear this standoff may lead to war. For The World, I'm Natalia Antalava in Simferopol, Crimea.